Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 212.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Dot Digital, a customer engagement platform that's been innovating for over 20 years, helping digital marketers and developers deliver communications across the customer journey. Now, Dot Digital grew from a pub in the UK to a global organization with over 350 employees, serving 4,000 customers that span industries from e-commerce all the way through to not-for-profit. If you need to engage smarter, convert faster, and deliver big, Dot Digital is with you every step of the way. And they're just getting started, from transactional emails to SMS campaigns, segment analytics to communication APIs, Dot Digital is at the forefront of customer engagement. Learn more about their incredible solution, why they're part of the Shopify Plus Certified App Program. Get all the details today at dotdigital.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 212-ish episodes. There's a lot of great partners in the Shopify ecosystem that I've had the opportunity to interview. They're solving some amazing problems for Shopify brands. So go check out the back catalog, ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, I'm really excited to have this guest. His name is Burke Tanier, and he's the co-founder and CEO of a company called PriSync. That's P-R-I-S-Y-N-C, PriSync. They are a price optimization software company that helps Shopify merchants to automatically track their competitors' pricing. But there's more to it than just that. They can also apply dynamic repricing strategies on a Shopify storefront. It's a very interesting solution. I think a lot of brands are not implementing this software, and I think you're going to find it very compelling as to why you may want to consider it. I know it's going to be a great conversation. We're just moving into the busy holiday times right now, and I think pricing and competitiveness is super important. So also make sure you listen through to the end. We talked in the green room before recording, and there's going to be an exclusive listener-only bonus available too at the end of the show. So hi, Burke. Welcome again to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Steve. It's great to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for the time zone differences. You being in Turkey, me being in Vancouver, British Columbia, our time zones are significantly apart. But I always say this occasionally on the show is that where there's talent and where there's great software and platforms that are helping Shopify brands, we just have to make it work. We have to tell the story. We have to let people know about what's out there. And I just really appreciate your hustle to get on the show today.
You're welcome. That's literally my lifetime, so no problem at all. So we literally like hustle 7/24. We work with companies from all over the world, like from 60 countries to be specific. So I'm quite used to, you know, doing these podcasts, doing these calls at 7 p.m. or maybe like 9 p.m. in the evening. So no problem at all.
All right. That's great. Thank you so much. So let's share with the audience, because there's going to be a lot of people that don't know what PriSync does and then the problem that it's solving for Shopify brands. So maybe you can just kind of unpack that a bit for us.
Yeah, sure. Pleasure. So like just as you introduced basically, Steve, so we help Shopify merchants automatically track their competitor prices, but also actually like next to prices, we help them to monitor stock availabilities of their competitors, which is, I think, quite relevant as of today because of this, you know, shortage economy that we are going through, you know, everything is out of stock and so on. And we primarily do this on price comparison engines tailored to like consumers like Google Shopping, for example. And again, just as you said, we don't only stop at benchmarking prices, but we also let merchants to automatically reprice their products according to the like rules they set. So they can say things like, for example, I want to be 5% cheaper than the cheapest of my competitors, But I also want, for example, this percent profit margin on top of my cost of goods sold and so on. And then the rest is basically like helping them to maximize their sales volumes, getting rid of their dead stock, and obviously at the end of the day, helping them with an improved bottom line, like increased profit margins. And I really like to explain what we do, the statement, so maybe I should also repeat it here. So in a way, you know, everybody is sort of like knowledgeable about, you know, Amazon's like pricing capabilities. So they incorporate this dynamic pricing engine built by, you know, hundreds of engineers, maybe hundreds of thousands of R&D budgets and so on. So we, in a way, sort of packed this innovation, packed this technology into a Shopify app and now cater to all sizes of merchants from all around the world. So in other words, I like to say that we are leveling the playing field in a way. And, you know, I think this pricing aspect is getting more and more relevant because of, again, the economic turbulence that we have been going through in the last few years. So I believe we are really trying to help the merchants we are working with to match this trend via our automation in a smarter way.
Right. So let's unpack a little bit about the origin story. I'm fascinated why people build what they build, you know, like why people choose the verticals that they get involved in. And, you know, there's obviously the pieces have come together with your founding team. So maybe you can talk about the desire and the expertise. Where did this come from and why are you creating this platform?
Sure. I think that the ideal answer to this question, like typically would be just, you know, experiencing the pain at first hand. But in my case, it was basically like observing the pain at first time because I didn't really experience this myself before starting pricing, but I had many friends and I would say many smart friends, I would like to say, because they graduated from these nice colleges in our region, you know, maybe top universities and so on. And then they just found a job in an e-commerce company, or they maybe even started up their e-commerce companies in, you know, different verticals like, I don't know, apparel, perfumes, I don't know, electronics and so on. And you know, during those early years, like I'm talking about, by the way, 2012, 2013, whenever I had the chance to socialize with those friends for a beer, for a burger and so on, they were literally always complaining about how difficult it is to adapt to, you know, changing prices in the market and so on. And occasionally I was also visiting their offices to see what they are really up to, how they really work and so on. And interestingly enough, I started to observe that the typical work day for them was something like having a Google Chrome or maybe Mozilla Firefox open in front of them, having the first tab as their own web shop and their own products. And then they were literally opening, I don't know, tens of different Google Chrome tabs with the competitor web shop open. And they were literally like spending, or I would like to say wasting, half of their workday to copy and paste all the competitor product prices into an Excel file. And then they were actually setting up, you know, Excel formulas, like our basically dynamic repricing engine. And then on the Excel file, they were then coming up with this optimum prices, as they just called. And then if they could have done this for all their assortment, obviously they were not able to do, but maybe for, I don't know, 1%, 10% of their assortment, then they were changing their prices in the web shop, maybe in Shopify or elsewhere. So I just observed that this is a terribly time-wasting activity, and it was obviously error-prone. So, you know, you could have just copied it wrong. Like you could have omitted 1 next to 19. So you could have just assumed that this price is 9. So I noticed that this could have been done by robots instead in our day. So we decided to build a robot-driven engine, which automatically collected all these competitor prices. And then with a rule-based engine, we tried to mimic what they were doing on those Excel files with formulas to literally streamline this end-to-end pricing decision-making process for all sizes of e-commerce companies. So that's the story.
No, I love that part. I'm just thinking out loud here. One thing that's interesting is, what about people that feel they don't really have competitors? Or is this particular kind of product you offer, is it more for commodity products where people are selling exactly the same thing? Or when people do competitive analysis of their products, are they looking at similar products, not the same product, and saying, well, they sell 2 pounds of coffee, I sell 2 pounds of coffee.
True.
They're different. Maybe you can share with the audience, because I think a lot of people are going to be a little bit confused saying, hey, or I'm into fashion. I custom make all my stuff. I'm choosing my pricing, but am I looking at what maybe other high quality fashion companies are doing that also sell blouses and pants and things? So maybe you can just kind of share the verticals or the types of products that kind of make sense, why you'd want to look at the competition and why you may want to even adjust your pricing based on the research.
Yeah, good question, or maybe like even a great question, Steve. Thanks a lot for that. And to be direct and maybe straight, I guess our power use case is just like you said, the retailers who are selling commodity products, which can be like benchmarking an apple to apple way instead of apple to oranges, if that's the right way to put it. But again, I think about 10% of our client base is just falling into this category that you have just drawn. So like they are benchmarking their own 2 kilograms of coffee against the other competitors selling the same like generic product. But again, this is not the power use case, I would say. But we still have companies who are benchmarking similar products prices against each other. But, you know, I believe about 10% of Shopify and Shopify Plus in general sort of falls into this power use case of ours, like selling commodity products. But believe me, I mean, if we come to that point during the conversation, our long-term vision is actually catering to 100% of the client base of Shopify. So in that respect, we sort of are trying to expand our dynamic pricing capabilities to more of direct-to-consumer brands, which needs to actually optimize their prices depending on their first-party data. So instead of relying on competitor prices, for example, their pricing optimization depends on their like existing conversion rates, existing traffic, and so on. And a lot can be literally, you know, worked on, done on that data that they are sitting on. So believe me, in the coming months or so, we will be dropping some new apps, new functionalities, so that we really want to literally offer a wall-to-wall pricing experience to all sorts of Shopify merchants. But at this stage, it's mostly for like retailers, mainly for retailers selling commodity products.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that next level, because it's the same kind of comment that I have with the brands I manage. I say they always talk about their pricing, and they're just sometimes they're just not sure if in fact they have the best price. And they're also worried about buyer intent. They're also trying to figure out, is there machine learning or some kind of AI that can understand, even if it's the known or the unknown site visitor, and saying, this is their second visit. They still haven't pulled the trigger yet. What is it? And they're back looking at the same product again. I wonder if offering a discount now, or I wonder if maybe this time around when they come back, they see that it's now on sale like dynamically. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. So this is very, very interesting.
Agreed.
So let's dig into both the common use cases, because I think today, like in the marketplace, when we talk about pricing automation, you mentioned it's more of a commodity side, and we're doing some competitive analysis and rounding rules and, you know, down by certain percentages and certain kind of things. But what are you seeing? Because I see some interesting things of why people pick their pricing. One, I'm gonna open up the kimono and saying, hey, it's all about gross margin. You have financial people going, no. We are, our customer acquisition cost is this. We know what our average order value is. And so based on that, we cannot have a lower price than this unless our cost of goods is lower. I think that's like the first level of gross margin is the most important thing. So I'd love to understand from your side, what's the typical merchant who's not using your software? Like, what are they thinking about and what are they doing to price their products?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, they mostly follow this cost-based pricing strategy, as we call it, just adding a guesstimated, maybe a target profit margin on top of this cost of goods sold, and then, you know, spraying and praying for the rest of the pre. So they say, let's pick 10%, because, you know, our industry average is 10%. I mean, this is mostly stated by those financial folks sitting around the table. But, you know, this is, again, like the most common use case we see before we really get into conversation with clients. And obviously, they try to generate some degree, some extent of competitive data from the market. Again, like those folks of mine who were doing this manually. But obviously, it's mostly limited if you do this manually and so on. But the problem with this cost-based pricing tactic, where you mostly like neglect what's going on in the market, is that like it's twofold. So the first and maybe the most dramatic part is actually, and mostly often neglected part, is that let's say you have this cost advantage that you don't know, that you are not aware of, versus your competition, just because you have this nice supplier relationship with this particular brand A. So they supply their products at a really competitive purchase price. So if you, for example, follow this average profit margin in the industry, you actually are facing the worst risks of all of underpricing your products. So you can just simply, you know, add this standard average profit margin on top of your competitive cost. And then, unless you monitor what's going on in the market versus all the competition, you might actually underprice your products. For example, so you might be pricing a product for $10, where the next cheapest competitor, for example, for that product might be $15. So instead of pricing that product, for example, for $14, I mean, you are leaving all those $4 per each and every sale on the table or maybe in the pockets of your customers, which is not terrible. But I mean, it could have been better in your case. The alternative is maybe more straightforward. So you can again spray and pray with relatively higher target profit margins where you don't really have this competitive, let's say, purchase power. So in that case, you will see that nothing is moving on. So any of your stock is getting sold because when you, for example, look out into the market, you see that your prices are maybe like 10%, 20% higher than the market standard. So you can't really get rid of that stock. So in a way, if you only follow cost-based pricing, like most of the merchants do, you have the risk of either underpricing or overpricing your products. And if you have this capability of, again, generating some degree of competitive intelligence, the rest still mostly relies on Excel files and, you know, Excel files flying around. I mean, imagine, I don't know, 30 Excel files per day and so on. All that chaos. And, you know, at the end of the day, people sort of gets relieved when they get on board with us because of just getting rid of all that mess, all that brokenness, I don't know, all that or error prone flow. So we sort of streamline all that effort that would be a chaos otherwise.
Right. I have a brand that I manage, and I think this is a perfect use case. I'm probably going to make a warm intro to them to you maybe after this recording. But what's interesting is they're in the cell phone case market. It's branded under their own name. I think it's a nondescript, but obviously it fits the mold of whatever type of phone it is. And they have thousands of products available, as you can probably guess. I feel personally, I don't know what their cost of goods are, but I feel that they're dramatically underpriced. And it's fine to be like the discount retailer, and that's your edge to market, is you're like this big powerhouse selling iPhone cases, cell phone cases, and then your shtick is they're all under $10 or they're around $10 to $12, which is too low in my opinion. But, you know, made in China, maybe they cost 50 cents. Maybe they cost a dollar all in. And so in that particular use case, is it possible where they sell a product that fits, let's say, the iPhone 12 and they have 50 different types? Is it possible to find other competitors selling iPhone 12 cases of similar quality? And would you do that competitive analysis? And then in this use case, do you see an opportunity here of like maybe we need to adjust your pricing and net you'll actually make more money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I would say we have customers in this exact space. So they are selling, you know, cell phone, you know, coverages, packages, cases, and so on, which are their own brand typically. And I think most of those products are still, at the end of the day, maybe the same, sourced from China. They just only put a stamp, maybe a brand on those cases. But I don't know whether that's the case for your client. But at the end of the day, the majority of the cases are basically manufactured by similar suppliers in China. But anyways, to respond to your question, I think, yeah, like technologically, we can help with such cases. But again, our power use case is actually where you have those barcodes for those products, which enable you apple-to-apple comparison on channels like Google Shopping, for example. For those, for example, cases, you won't have a barcode that would take me to all the other retail points selling the exact same product. But an alternative route that those type of merchants are taking with our product is that they can either populate this competitive landscape just once as they get onboarded. So they can literally build this huge Excel file where they drove each and every competitor of theirs, and actually they can map out their products just once in the beginning, and they can dump this data into our scraping engine. So from that day onwards, we can collect data from all those competitors that they just provide in day one, and then they can apply this dynamic repricing automatically as they proceed. So it's still applicable, but honestly, it's not as seamless as you would have in, for example, a commodity retailer where you have barcodes and barcodes can be found across multiple resellers.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for giving me the 411 on that. I appreciate it. I want to talk about people that get onboarded with your solution. Let's say someone says, yes, I want to use this solution. I at least want to test it out. You know, like, are there any aha moments when people, you know, they have commodity products, you onboard them? Is there anything that they find very interestingly unique and exciting about your solution once they get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just because of this, you know, manual aspect, like most of our clients have been following those prices manually, like at least some of those prices manually just a week before, for example, they just start testing out our software. So in the day one, for example, when they actually just import their products, for example, from Shopify, and we automatically collect them on Google Shopping. And in day one, we collect all the competitor prices without them checking them manually. So they literally thank God for the existence of robots, if that's right. The right way to put it, because they don't spend those hours anymore. So they see that the robots can do this instead. And, you know, after this collection of competitor prices comes the dynamic repricing part. Again, to depict this story as clear as possible, this is the part where they used to do on Excel files with formulas and stuff. And at that point, they noticed that, like, after collecting competitor prices, I think the biggest, I would say, shock for them is noticing that they are underpricing their products. Because in most cases, you know, when people start considering these type of competitor repricing tools, they fear a race to the bottom. So they sort of like wrongly assume that we will be always offering, you know, recommending them discounts. We will be always, you know, decreasing their prices and so on. But when they notice that at least maybe for the 50% of their assortment, there is an opportunity to increase prices. So we will be actually helping them not to leave that money on the table anymore. So I think this is the biggest aha moment for them, as you say. Contrary part is always the no-brainer part. So they also notice that, you know, some of those brands they have in stock, which are probably not selling as well as they expected, are overpriced. So we also let them notice that. So when they start doing some smart discounts, you know, those SKUs starts getting sold at a higher traction and so on. So those are actually quite a few aha moments. Just noticing that this can be done automatically, noticing that their prices are actually under the market average and they can have some smart price increases. And also noticing that some discounts could finally make some sales for some of the brands they have in stock.
What's interesting, I wonder if there's an option, maybe your tool has this, but what about like dynamic pricing, like through like an A-B test, just to prove the value that your hypothesis was correct? Do you have that sort of functionality?
Well, that actually falls under this vision of building a wall-to-wall pricing experience. Like I said, not yet, but the way we sort of recommend our clients with the test is that we actually let them test. We actually tell them to test, not let actually, but in a time frame. So let's say they set this price as, I don't know, $10 for week one, and then they test $11 for the other week, unless we have huge seasonality between those weeks. So in weeks, we don't have that much of seasonality anyway. So this is actually the way to test. But there are some, for example, specific apps doing this in the Shopify App Store, to be honest, but they don't really incorporate this competitive pricing part, and that's what we are actually trying to achieve in a way. So we try to merge all different pricing approaches into an experience so that you will have competitive prices, you will have the price testing capability. I don't know, you would even have a very simple, you know, bulk discounting capability and so on. But at this stage, no, I mean, we don't offer price testing as a feature, but yeah, we recommend this as a strategy for them to see the real return on investment.
So you bring up a good point about maybe the competition. And I always have a mantra that, you know, where there's competition, there's business. And I'm not implying that, you know, your solution is the be all and the end all for everyone, because then that means you're not building for the right people if it's the right product for everyone. But, you know, you can do a quick search, obviously, in Google, or go to the App Store, pricing, dynamic pricing. You can find, there's other competitors, but I know that you have been very intentional to differentiate. And part of it, you just mentioned already, yes, there's apps probably that can A-B test pricing. On the flip side, maybe that's not the best way to look at it, because you don't have the dynamic engine in there that's actually looking at the competitiveness and more than just cost plus kind of pricing. So it'd be great if you could kind of maybe talk about, like, specifically how you've differentiated, and you may have chatted about most of these points already, but just want to get clear as to why you're unique and different in the ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, good point. So if we start with those like Google search that will result with, I don't know, tens of similar solutions in the market, I think the primary differentiation there is actually our, I would say, strong focus on Shopify, because, you know, we are not just a competitor price tracker, or we are not just a dynamic pricing app. We technologically can work with, I don't know, even Magento merchants and so on. But in the case of, you know, Shopify experience, we developed our functionality even further than the others, in the sense that we are 100% integrated with the first party of Shopify merchants. So they don't, for example, need to send us any sort of Excel file to import their products, which is the case in those other generic competitor price tracking tools, because they don't actually know your store. So you introduce your store to them via Excel files containing the products. But in our case, we are directly linked with Shopify. So people can actually automatically import and, more importantly, sync their product data. For example, in the context of pricing, cost of goods sold is vital. So something that an engine needs to know. So for example, if a merchant changes their cost of goods sold on Shopify, it in seconds automatically changes on pricing as well, so that our repricing engine maybe recommends a new price point depending on this new cost of goods sold. So I would say, in short, compared to all those others, you know, existing global dynamic pricing engines, I think we are differentiating against them with our Shopify focus. And in the Shopify space, like I previously said, there are some other apps in the domain of pricing, but I think, you know, they are either limited or maybe their focus is only on one side of what we are trying to fulfill. So they are either only offering you some degree of competitor monitoring. So they let you to see your competitor prices, so you can generate Excel files so you can see all the competitor prices, and then you can change your price on Shopify admin depending on that. Or at the other end, there are some apps which changes your price or which lets you change your price depending on your first party data. So your, like I said, inventory levels, conversion rates, and so on. So we literally merge these two capabilities of competitive intelligence and automated price changes for those commodity retailers at this stage. But to be honest, like I said, I really want to depict that our vision is sort of still not fulfilled in the Shopify space, because we really want to build this wall-to-wall capability compared to the competitors, in the sense that we, for example, are now working on a very basic, I would say, Shopify app, which will really streamline the day one pricing needs of a merchant. So for example, bulk updating prices for a particular brand, you know, bulk scheduled discounts for a particular day or so. But at this stage, I think our key differentiation is our focus on Shopify. And in the Shopify space, our key differentiation is actually merging those two aspects of competitive pricing intelligence and dynamic repricing.
I'm going to be devil's advocate for a minute, because that's what I like to do. But let's say, you know, your solution makes a decision to raise a price for whatever the reasons are, competitive reasons, whatever it is. The merchant sees one price, you know, let's talk about a 5% conversion rate. So 95% of people leave. They never typically buy on the first visit. They come back again thinking that they may buy this time, and they notice the price is different. Like, what's your feeling on that? Do people not recognize that? Is that just kind of the way e-commerce is? It's just kind of the Amazon effect, where you want to go and buy some headphones, and Amazon is very transparent, saying, just so you know, the item that's in your cart, the price has changed, or it's not available anymore, or whatever. And they're transparent about that fact, that something has happened live in the cart as you come back later. I'm wondering about people live on the website. They come back a week later under the assumption that this 2 kilograms of coffee is going to be $19.99. It turns out now to be $20.99. Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, my take on that is actually, again, just appreciating the fact that Amazon is making this sort of e-commerce standard. And also, like, as tools like ours and also as other dynamic pricing tools sort of enable this dynamism of price changes, I think it's sort of becoming the standard of e-commerce. But I think, again, as you are coming from the devil's advocate angle, let me also come from an angel's maybe angle, saying that those same customers would also experience some discounts, for example, in the very same case. Because, for example, they visited a particular product page. It was $10, I don't know, last week. And when they visit this time, they might notice that this product is now $9. So the opposite is also possible with the dynamism. And if you can actually prove that the prices are not just increasing, but I would say mostly decreasing because of this dynamism to, you know, catch up with competition, it's beneficial for the customers.
All right, good. That clears that up. Thank you. So let's talk about Q4. We're right in the middle of it. I think, you know, we're literally weeks away from BFCM. Like, this holiday season is like massive for brands right now. And like, is there anything specific that you're recommending brands do today to kind of prepare for this inevitable rush?
Sure. You know, this might sound a little controversial for me to say this as, you know, a competitive pricing guy, but I almost on a daily basis chat with a few clients of pricing. So in some of those chats, you know, I started to ask about the inventory planning of the merchant that I'm talking to. So whether they will be able to have the items in stock throughout the holiday season, or whether they expect to, you know, run out of stock even in the beginning of the holiday season and so on. And I started to now recommend those folks who definitely expect to run out of stock for those key items, scrap their discounting plans. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you are sure that you will be going out of stock for an item at a discounted price, why don't you test out the original price for that item and just try to, you know, go out of stock at that price point? So this is again at this leaving money on the table thing. So instead of just leaving those discounted amounts on the table or again in the pocket of your consumers, you may actually consider not discounting this holiday season. But again, to be specific, if you can really see that you will go out of stock because of those low inventory levels, because you couldn't, I don't know, source that particular brand, particular product. So this is this specific scenario. And for the other cases where discounting makes sense, I am absolutely against, you know, blanket discounting, and then maybe to be more specific, against the spraying and praying kind of activity where the, you know, e-commerce team or maybe the e-commerce manager just starts his or her holiday planning and comes up with this 25% discount level for the whole assortment and sets this 25% just before the holidays and just leaves it as it is. So this is, I think, sort of the activity that we should be expecting from a 90s guy, if not 80s guy, 80s retailer. Because, you know, as we just discussed before, those prices change, like your competitor prices, to be specific, will be changing throughout the holiday season. So maybe that 25% discount that you set before the holiday season is not really beaten by a competition yet in day one, but maybe in an hour's time, you know, that competition will react against your aggressive discount with maybe a 30% offer. Even, you know, the early hours of the holiday season, you won't be competitive enough with that aggressive discount. So what I'm saying is that make sure that you are watching out your space, watching out your market, even throughout the holiday season. And obviously watching the market throughout holiday season is against the, you know, meaning of holiday, because we should be just chilling out and so on. So I would literally recommend them, you know, relying on automations like us because of that. Because instead of watching the markets, just set up an automation beforehand, which will be monitoring the market on behalf of you, so that you will be reacting against all those stuff changing throughout the holiday season. So you just, you know, spray and pray is actually definitely an activity that I'm against.
Well, this is great advice. I'd also add that for those listening today, if you believe you may have some supply chain challenges, meaning I have a lot of brands that literally, I have one brand that has 40 containers sitting on the docks right now. Longshoremen aren't available or they're limited, no truck drivers. It's a big old cluster right now going on. And so a lot of them are worried a little bit about, are they going to have enough inventory? And so all those challenges aside, I'm also recommending maybe aligning yourself with other non-competitive other brands in Shopify. For example, like I look at Steve Madden, for example. Steve Madden is big in shoes. But if you go to stevemadden.com and you go to his website, you'll actually see that he actually sells other things that are not Steve Madden branded. And so what's happening here is that they've made these brand partnerships, and there is software out in that. One is Caro. You can go get Caro, G-E-T and Caro, C-A-R-R-O-W, getcaro.com. Also one company called Convictional at convictional.com. But they have technology now that really allows you, and I know that we're talking about you today, but I want to make sure that if there's people that have supply chain problems, there's ways of aligning with software to saying, hey, I want to carry other non-competitive products on my store. And what happens with these two pieces of software, whatever one you choose, is that you can then import the other person's products into your store. So now you become not a marketplace, but you carry another range of SKUs that are complementary to what you sell. The benefit here is that when someone buys off your website, it shows up in the other person's admin in Shopify. They fulfill, like a dropshipper, they're fulfilling the order on your behalf. You have all the money. Someone else is shipping the product on your behalf, and then the financial arrangements are all managed kind of in the back office. So there is opportunity out there. So we're not just going to stick our heads in the sand and going, okay, well, I run out of inventory, or my BFCM was just like explosive and now I have nothing left. Okay, yes and no, you can re-merchandise and reprice and all that, but maybe you need to carry a wider selection of product, and the way to do it quickly is either with Caro or with Convictional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe to add on to that, I really like that idea, by the way. I haven't heard of that. And I think another smart idea might be applying gift cards, unless you already do, because, you know, gift cards are actually, you know, intangible. You will definitely have them in stock, so you can guarantee that at least. So you can literally, you know, make some sales and, you know, fulfill, I don't know, in January, in February and so on. So I think gift cards are also becoming quite popular just because of that fact these days.
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. So it's time to pivot to a story, because I think, you know, a lot of people listening today, we're definitely going to be brand owners, they're going to be entrepreneurs or marketers, lots of people. And I think a story, it builds this kind of, there's an education component usually, but I think it's the inspiration, I think, of other people. And so hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it would be great if you could kind of share a story of someone that made the pricing decision. So maybe they didn't have your solution, they somehow found you and they decided to onboard and use you. And then like, how did their life change, and like, what's happening with their business today?
Okay, so, well, it's always hard to pick one client in such questions, but I think I would go with this, you know, Danish client of ours called Thomas. So he's managing this sneaker retail store called streetbill.dk, so the Danish domain. So what is really fascinating about this brand and this team is that they are just two people managing an offline and online store on Shopify. They are managing that with just two people because of their, you know, heavy focus on automation, which I really admire, like I said. So they always try to find tools instead of just hiring new people for the, you know, up and coming operations, you know, scaling up operations and stuff. At the pricing end, you know, one of the challenges that they were facing in the market was that there has been a silent sneaker boom across Europe, or maybe, you know, outside also Europe. So there are now tons of, you know, Shopify stores actually selling, you know, those Jordan sneakers, you know, different branded sneakers and stuff. And they are, I would say, commodities now. There are even, you know, sneaker stock exchanges in a way, I think called StockX, like goat.com and so on. So in that respect, they were having some hard time with this increased competition. And again, instead of hiring like junior people, like interns, etc., to delegate this price monitoring test, they just went out to the market to see whether they can automate that. And like, fortunately, we just had to meet them. We just had the chance to, you know, introduce our software. And yeah, they just noticed that they could now handle, you know, thousands of variants, benchmark against their competition automatically and reprice on their storefront. And I think this was even beyond what they were expecting, because, you know, when they first contacted us, they were somehow in need of a competitor price tracker, which would just provide them the competitor prices, and they were expecting to change the prices themselves. But as we just mentioned that we also have this capability, you know, Thomas has this like signature reactions, as we call internal, like, because we serve our clients like 7/24 with a live chat support. So most of the conversation we have with them is like written. So those chat box conversations, and his signature reaction is this big all caps perfect. So, you know, whenever he enjoys any type of like feedback, he just posts this, you know, PERFECT in all caps. So now when we just let him know that we have this repricing capability, like he can just set up rules and so on, that was what he really enjoyed most. And interestingly, I don't know, this is, I think, the best thing that can happen to an app developer. You know, he sometimes, you know, asks about some functionality, but he's literally asking this as a wish. So he's not, at least from the way he asks, he's assuming that we don't have that capability, but maybe we might develop this in the coming months. And in all cases, you know, we always have the solution in our existing capabilities, but he hasn't discovered yet. So we just tell him that actually he can access this functionality at this tab under this navigation bar and so on. And he again drops this big bold perfect all the time. So yeah, like one case, for example, to deserve this perfect was where we told him that he can compare all his competition on a variant level, because, you know, honestly, like scraping prices, collecting prices for product variants is not the easiest task for a technology company like ours, because you actually have one product page and you have all those different variants listed under the product name. So you have 38, 39 and so on, and they might all have different prices. So he needed to be able to see the stock availability and pricing for all those variants. So we just told him that he can do it with our variant price tracking capabilities. So he really enjoyed that. And the other one was, I think, also a quite common expectation, where after you use an automated repricing engine, bad thing is that it ends up with mathematical price values. So for example, if you want 5% cheaper than the competition, you might end up with a price point like 14.57, which doesn't look that rounded. But, you know, he just asked whether he can end those prices with 14.99. And we told him that we have this psychological pricing model in our dynamic pricing engine, and yeah, he just applied that. So yeah, I mean, those type of like perfect reaction deserving moments we had.
Oh, this is lovely. I'll make sure I give them a shout out right now. So I'm actually on their website right now. So it's street-bill.dk.
Correct.
For those Danish people listening today. They also have a Norwegian store also.
Actually, they are scaling. Sorry to interrupt, but you know, sorry for my enthusiasm. They are scaling across Scandinavia. I think they are just launching their new Shopify store in Sweden. Yeah, I think they are already live on Norway. And that's what we have been discussing recently, just to, you know, copy and paste the strategy across different markets.
Yeah, and exciting for them too. If they're listening today, maybe we'll send this podcast episode to them. But if they're listening, Shopify markets are our take on internationalization with duties and taxes and currency and top level domain management and all that kind of stuff is all rolling out like live as we speak right now. There's tens of thousands of brands have kind of flipped to that sort of international market. Duties and taxes is a big kind of challenge and stuff like that. So this is great. Thank you for sharing that story. I really, it's very, very cool. So let's talk about the future for the product. I mean, you mentioned a bit that your flag is firmly in the sand in Shopify, and I do appreciate that. And I think that's a key and important differentiator. We mentioned that. But let's talk about maybe your North Star. Like you mentioned, some of the things you're trying to be maybe an A/B testing and a full solution for pricing outside of the commodity world. But let's talk about 22 and beyond. Like, what sort of things are you working on that you can talk about publicly? Just end of the day, how are you going to continue to offer value for brands that are looking to improve their margin and pricing?
Sure. I think I would divide this into two. So obviously you are asking a North Star, star, and it's mostly a single thing, but I would express two things. So the first bit is mostly relying on product development and innovation, and it's exactly what I have said earlier. So maybe to depict this better, I actually visualize the domain of pricing, like the act of pricing a product, as a pyramid in a way. And I think what we currently fulfill, what we currently do, is actually just maybe one or two slices of that pyramid, which is not at the bottom end, which is not at the top end, but in the mid layers, which is price monitoring and dynamic pricing. But I believe there is actually a sub layer, like under our existing layer, that we can call as like price management, price setting. So you can always, for example, change a price of a product on Shopify from the admin and so on, but it's not super easy to change the price of 1,000 products at one time. So you need to import, export, and so on. You cannot schedule discounts and stuff. So these type of requests are coming to us on a daily basis. And I envision a really accessible product here, maybe a freemium product here, which will be targeting those 1.6 million merchants, Shopify merchants across the world. So this will be one of the areas we will be aggressively doubling down. And also, if we expand further from our existing position to the top of the pyramid, there lies this price testing capability, as we discussed. So instead of just recommending a price and changing it on spot, we might be able to recommend the multiple price points and test them at the same time via A/B testing, I don't know, ABC testing. And the maybe sexiest part that I might say is actually relying at the top of the pyramid, which will be probably targeting more of Shopify Plus customers, where, you know, we have a lot of transactional data that can be fed into the AI that we are developing nowadays. So there, we actually are trying to build an engine which will be recommending those rules on behalf of the merchant. Instead of, you know, just following the rules set by the merchant, we really want to crunch their past sales performance, you know, the results of all those past testing and etc. So we really want to build an AI-based dynamic repricing engine, where the user won't be even defining any such rules. So we will be automating those rules. So this is the pricing pyramid I have in mind. And I don't really honestly expect that this will be all covered in a year. I envision this to be covered maybe in 2 years' time. But while doing that, obviously go-to-market is a huge focus of ours. And in that respect, like you said, I mean, we really want to be the brand that comes to mind of Shopify merchants when they are considering a pricing solution. And in that regard, partner alignment is quite vital for us, because there are already some other apps that are doing the same thing in different spaces, like customer support, shipping, I don't know, you know, there are those stronghold brands, apps that already own those spaces. And in that regard, for example, we are running this initiative that we call with a cheesy name as Automates. So those are actually brands like Gorgeous, for example, on Shopify, Shipbop, Omnisend, which comes together to speak about their own automation authority, own automation experience. For example, Gorgeous guys are, you know, Chris from Gorgeous, for example, is coming on stage at our events, and he's sharing his knowledge, expertise about customer support automation. And ShipBob guys are coming and saying, you know, talking about fulfillment automation. And we just go on stage and share what we know about pricing automation. So in a way, we try to educate Shopify merchants of all sizes around automation, but by still owning our own domains. And obviously this needs to be fulfilled with a lot of product development. But again, I just wanted to say that we don't also miss the opportunity of partner alignments. I really believe the biggest decision criteria for us to really double down on Shopify, it's super vibrant, super fun partner ecosystem. I mean, even this, for example, conversation with you is part of this vibrant ecosystem for me.
I'm even thinking about triggered events, like through marketing automation tools. I mean, you mentioned OmniSend, Klaviyo, Dot Digital, and a few others out there. What an opportunity to know some kind of a webhook or an API endpoint that says, hey, we just adjusted the price. This person hasn't bought yet. They looked at it. I think they like it. I'm pretty sure they like it. And so we're going to send them an email right now or an SMS and let them know the price has been adjusted. Wow. That is very powerful. And having Shopify as the source of truth for the customer record, and then be able to message them directly through an already connected tool to some kind of a flow. I think it's a pretty phenomenal opportunity that you might want to think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about where people can go now. Like, you shared a lot of knowledge today, and I think long and short of it is that those that didn't know about the benefits of dynamic pricing, competitive analysis and research, it's much more than just cost plus. If you've learned anything today, that is not the way to run a business correctly, just through cost plus. You don't know what's going on other people's costs. You don't know how competitive you are. And then the work effort of spreadsheets and the multi-tabs and all the craziness that you talked about, like, that needs to end today. So where can people go to learn more?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, we have our homepage at pricing.com. And not to confuse with the act of pricing, again, we have this name like PRI, like as in pricing. But we have the synchronization part. Right. So it's pricing. And also, obviously, for Shopify merchants, you know, they can type on the Shopify App Store search bar and find us. Probably they will encounter some other competitors, you know, bidding on our brand name. But yeah, I think they can easily find us. And they can also find us on the top spot if they, you know, query like dynamic pricing, competitor price tracking. Because, you know, we have been working a lot on the review side of Shopify. So we are collecting as many reviews as possible, which gives us the opportunity to appear on the first position for those relevant keywords. And yeah, I mean, they can either visit our homepage or find ourselves directly on the Shopify App Store.
Perfect. And I mentioned at the top of the show, but you would like to offer, I guess, a listener-only bonus or a promotion. I know the 14-day free trial is pretty standard to kind of kick the tires a bit and see what your platform is all about. Is there anything else that you want to share today?
Yeah. I mean, if anyone listening to this who really liked the benefits that I've been talking about, they can simply, you know, contact our team after that 14-day free trial and use our software with a 25% discount after the free trial expiry for 3 months. You know, this will probably help them to be more motivated to see and experience the return on investment we deliver. And believe me, after 3 months, you won't be really asking for the 25% discount because we will be already providing you the return on investments. Like, really.
Yeah. This is lovely. I joke in a lot of episodes that I record that I scramble a lot of notes. It's like I have this life of learning kind of mantra, but I have like 2 pages full of notes that I've scrambled down today.
And okay.
I just wanted to thank you so much. I've wanted to have you on for quite some time, to be quite honest with you. And I know the importance of pricing and I knew of your solution, but now that I've, you know, taken the intentional space to learn exactly what you do and why you do it, and then the success on the other side of Shopify brands, I think this is really exciting. I just wanted to thank you for offering this deal to get the trial, get the discount for, you know, for 2 or 3 months. But at the end of the day, it's going to help you make more money and you're going to have the correct pricing based on the profitability of your company. So I just, thanks for sharing your knowledge. Thanks for building this solution. Thanks for putting your flag in the sand in Shopify's ecosystem. I just really appreciate you coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. You know, I have been also really willing to be a guest on the show. And, you know, I think this was also quite the right moment because, you know, this Black Friday, Cyber Monday thing is approaching. So pricing is probably going to be a more catchy, like, top subject for your podcast these days. So people have more attention for that and so on. So yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to share what I know, happy to share my story, like in the context of Shopify. You know, we appear to be like a B2B app vendor in the space, but at the end of the day, I always like to, you know, emphasize, show the personal side of things. So how I got started, you know, that we are nice folks based in Istanbul, Turkey, helping merchants of all sizes from all around the world. And maybe to really finally like emphasize that, but you know, we sort of feel like managing a hotel or a restaurant in Istanbul, Turkey, where people like come and visit from different parts of the world. So we really enjoy you know, supporting those Shopify folks via our live chat box, via, you know, onboarding calls and stuff. And this conversation also had a nice vibe for me. So it was a pleasure to talk to you, Steve. Yeah.
This is lovely. Well, thanks, Burke. Thanks so much. Have yourself a great evening and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, stay safe. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Dot Digital. From email marketing to full omnichannel marketing orchestration, Dot Digital transforms your customer insights into personalized marketing campaigns. Learn more about their incredible solution and get started today at dotdigital.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.